live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative, and like the dude just said, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Okay. So, by the way, the phone lines are open. You want to call in, it's Friday afternoon, 866-494-9866. So far, we've talked about what I call the underlying madness of using our kids as a tool. Literally, liberals using our kids as a tool to get their liberal agenda invoked. All right, there's that one. Right now, I'm moving to number two in the triple dipper, crying wolf in D.C., and I'll talk about that in more detail. I also, though, spent time with talking about this horrible Vestavia Hills church shooting. And then we also covered down on some things with our current state auditor running for Secretary of State, Jim Ziegler, and our own Dale Jackson just called in a moment ago and talked about, you know, what his hopes are for seeing Mo Brooks be elected, Rand Paul here in town being a very notable conservative in D.C. campaigning for Mo Brooks. Okay, all that's been on the show today. You want to call in and talk about any of it? Come on. I'm also curious what you think about voter turnout for next week. Have you got any thoughts on that? High, low? Does it help the races, hurt the races? Who does it help if it does? Give us a call. 866-494-9866. Number two in the triple dipper, crying wolf in D.C. You remember the story, was it one of Aesop's fables that did the boy that cried wolf? Was that?
I think so.
I think it was. It was, you know, the fables, the stories that are told to kids to teach a lesson. In that particular case, this little boy kept crying wolf, and, you know, people would panic and run out, and then they would find out that he was just pulling a joke. He thought it was funny to cry wolf when there really wasn't one. And then eventually he cried wolf because it was real, and no one responded because he had done it so many times that he had basically abused the privilege, if you will, of shouting the problem, and no one wanted to respond anymore because they didn't believe him. I'm seeing that in D.C. in a big way. I'm seeing that right now more than ever. I mean, there have been questionable uses of executive authority at state and federal level over the last couple of years, but it's really ramped up. I mean, like, for instance, right here in Alabama, I take issue, and by the way, if Governor Ivey does something right, I'll say it. I don't mind saying it. But when I see something that's wrong, I'll say that too. And one of the things I saw that was wrong was the heavy-handed level of executive action that shut down businesses and allowed mandates to be in place that shouldn't have been, and then wouldn't take action against COVID mandates, and the legislature had to kind of force her hand in a special session. All right, so there's that. But we saw even worse than that coming out of D.C., vaccine mandates, shutting down of businesses, you know, disrupting the supply chain, printing money and paying people not to go back to work when we needed them to. All of that is literally at the feet of the Biden administration right now. It's getting worse because here's the thing. If you can invent the crisis and then abuse the extraordinary emergency powers that you've just invoked by having invented the emergency, you can do all kinds of stuff, and they're figuring that out. And I've got a series right now of stories that indicate that this is not a one-time deal. This is a pattern in practice. As an attorney, that's a phrase that we use in court. The pattern in practice is this, and we say pattern in practice in order to help prove that what we're looking at now is actually what we say it was, because they have a pattern in practice of doing that. Classic story. Let's see which one I want to use first. Well, I here's one I'm going to refresh your memory on that I brought up a couple weeks ago. Story from CBS News, dated June the 6th, so just about, 11 days ago. Biden invokes the Defense Production Act to spur solar panel and clean energy production. The Defense Production Act is supposed to be reserved for times of great emergency and where the national defense has to be invoked. Typically in a time of war. President Biden on Monday invoked the Defense Production Act in an effort to spur the manufacturing of solar panels and other clean energy equipment, using the wartime era tool intended for the national defense to advance his clean energy agenda. Good gosh. I mean, every time I read this, it blows my mind. How does he get away with it? He's crying wolf. What he's saying is this. Here's the quote from the article. The Biden administration argued that climate is interwoven with national security. Oh, we're at war with the ozone. We're at war with the climate. We're at war with global warming. Okay. Well, here's Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks, who says in response, reducing America's dependence on gas and oil is critical to U.S. national security. I mean, in conflict, fossil fuel supply lines are especially vulnerable. We're not in conflict. The actions President Biden announced today will help strengthen our supply chains and ensure that the United States is a leader in producing the energy technology. This is an abuse of power, folks. What I'm saying is they're crying wolf. They had to go, we want the Green New Deal and we couldn't get it passed through Congress. How do we do this? I know what. Hey, Mr. President, let's declare climate change a national security issue and invoke the Defense Production Act to make more solar panels. Well, whether he liked it or not, he did it. Because sometimes I wonder whether he knows what he's doing. But the Department of Energy says that exercising that DPA, the Defense Production Act authority, will let the federal government invest in companies. Oh, good, our tax dollars. We'll invest in companies with the capacity for producing clean energy and installing clean energy capabilities. So you see what I'm saying? There's one example. As they cry wolf in D.C., as they look around and go, we want our agenda done. How do we do this? I know what. Call it an emergency. Oh, an emergency. Ha! And now you can do things like the Defense Production Act. Well, you know, I'm going to boggle your mind with several of these. But it's not the first time in the last few weeks, because what's happened is if the boss is doing it, then all the departments know they can do it. In fact, I would bet that the ringleaders in the West Wing are directing the cabinet members to do this. Here's another one from May 27th, so we're 2 weeks ago. HHS Secretary Becerra invokes the Defense Production Act to further increase production of infant formula for American families. Well, this one came off the Health and Human Services website. So HHS.gov, just happy with themselves, just putting it out there like, man, look what we did. U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra today announced invokes the Defense Production Act for a third time in less than a week, moving to ensure that Cargill, Inc. can deliver raw materials to maximize the production of infant formula. Cargill supplies dozens of different products to a wide range of infant formula manufacturers. Now, by the way, this is a big deal. I'm not minimizing the infant formula shortage, which was, by the way, created by the Biden administration. Yeah. When you shut down one of the largest manufacturers of baby formula, and, oh, by the way, your supply chain is also jacked up because of your policies, and, oh, by the way, fuel costs being what they are make it harder to ship things at an affordable rate, and, oh, by the way, for the longest time you paid people to stay out of work, you just generated a perfect storm. It wasn't like babies didn't keep getting born, and now all of a sudden, baby formula is a big deal. I mean, this affects my own grandchild, I can tell you right now. We've had to go on the family hunt trying to find the right baby formula. So, our mission at HHS, said Secretary Becerra, is to ensure the health and well-being of all Americans, which includes ensuring our children are well-fed and cared for, unless, of course, they're getting free school lunches and you want woke agendas. That's a different story. Given the criticality of infant formula as recognized by the administration, relying on the Defense Production Act is necessary and warranted to ensure the delivery of the necessary raw materials. It goes on and on. Invoking the Defense Production Act is a targeted and timely way to quickly and efficiently increase the supply. You see what I'm saying? They created the issue. They declared an emergency. They then invoked special executive authorities that are not supposed to be used for the things they're using it for because they created the emergency. They cried wolf, and now they're acting. Well, it keeps going. How about this one? Story from 2 days ago from Reuters. Biden willing to use the Defense Production Act to boost refining capacity. Really? President Joe Biden willing to use the Defense Production Act if it would help the United States increase its oil refining capacity, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters on Wednesday. Biden is open to all reasonable uses of the federal government's tools to increase output and lower costs at the pump. Sure they are, including invoking the Defense Production Act, she said. It goes on and on. I got more of these, but I got one. Copper, take us to the break, but I got one that's going to blow your mind. Did you know that they're looking at executive actions to be able to preserve abortions if Roe v. Wade is overturned? Why? Because it's a public health emergency. Oh my gosh. Stand by. I got more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Now, I'm talking about this situation we got right now. It's ramped up in D.C. They create the crisis, and then they want something done differently. They create the crisis. They cry wolf. They declare it to be an emergency. They start doing things that, you know, aren't meant for the declarations that they make. You're not allowed to just willy-nilly use the Defense Production. We need more light bulbs, Defense Production Act. We need to have more Jell-O, Defense Production Act. We've got a problem with grasshoppers. Oh, public health emergency. It doesn't work like that. Well, they're doing it, and they're doing it left and right. Now, a moment ago, I told you there's a story on Reuters that said that the Biden administration is considering instituting the Defense Production Act to boost refining capacity. Basically, they want to increase the capabilities of the oil and gas industry to not only pump oil, but to refine it to make fuel. They're talking about using the Defense Production Act. Copper, you got clip one. You good to go on that? Secretary of Energy Granholm. Yeah, you good to go. Okay, great. Secretary of Energy Granholm was questioned by a CNN, not Fox, not Newsmax, was literally kind of held to her feet to the fire by a CNN host. And I want you to listen to this, and we're going to dissect it because it's exactly what I've been saying. Copper, clip one. Go ahead and play it.
Years from now, are you telling me you want them drilling for more oil? You want the refineries putting out more gasoline in 5 or 10 years?
What we're saying is today we need that supply increased. Of course, in 5 or 10 years, actually in the immediate, we are also pressing on the accelerator, if you will, to move toward clean energy so that we don't have to be under the thumb of petro-dictators like Putin or at the whim of the volatility of fossil fuels. Ultimately, America will be most secure when we can rely upon our own clean domestic production of energy.
But that's the problem
solar,
for these companies.
Wind,
these companies are saying, you know, you're asking me to do more now, invest more now, when in fact, 5 or 10 years from now, we don't think that demand will be there. And the administration doesn't even necessarily want it to be there. Just one last question on Saudi Arabia. The president is going to Saudi Arabia, where we understand he will be meeting with the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Is there any kind of promise beforehand that the Saudis will increase production?
No, no, there's no promise beforehand. There's not. And let me just say, John, we really want to see us move to clean energy, but we also need to see this increase right now. And we are asking the oil and gas companies as well to diversify and make sure that they become diversified energy companies to be able to produce other means of clean energy, because they have huge deep pockets. They have a big ability to invest in the future as well as investing right now so that we don't see oil and gas causing the inflation numbers and people being hurt every day.
Wow. 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 The hypocrisy of what you just heard. They shut down the oil and gas, and they shut down. They make the oil and gas industry's life miserable. They throw the entire oil and gas market into chaos. They shut down pipelines. They cancel oil and gas leases. They provide regulatory burdens that make things more difficult. They pay people not to go back to work in the oil and gas industry. And then they turn around and say, well, we're looking at having to now declare an emergency and ask for the Defense Production Act to be implemented so that we can get them to pump more gas. Put more oil. What? And then you heard that she's the Secretary of Energy. And she just said, literally just said, well, we got to have that production now, but we're not going to want it later. So what you want them to do is invest in what you want now to overcome the emergency that you made, while at the same time, them knowing that when they invest, that their investment may not pay off in the end for them as a company, even though they have shareholders they have to be responsible to, because you're also trying to shut them down in the long run. Oh, that's okay, though. Then you're going to go ahead and pivot like she did at the very end and say, what we really want them to do is to spend their money becoming a different company than what they are right now. We want McDonald's to start selling, I don't know, sushi. That's what they're doing. They should diversify. They should do things different than what they're doing. No, it doesn't work that way. You don't sit there and create the emergency and then invoke emergency powers acts to make them do the things that you stopped them from doing in the first place. This is crying wolf in a big way. Oh boy, I got more of this, and I'm going to make you mad with some of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So I'm in this section of the Triple Dipper. I mean, I'm still on number two. I haven't even gotten past it. It's a good one, though. This is one that I looked at and thought, I've not seen anybody saying this in the broad sense. You know, people get mad when he does, you know, Defense Production Act on this thing. Oh, he's going after green energy. Oh, he's trying to, you know, now he's trying to make up for it. But I'm looking at it across the board. This is a strategy being employed by the administration in a variety of ways to get all their agendas done, declaring emergencies. But, oh, by the way, they created the emergencies. So let me tell you one that just blows my mind. Copper, this one's gonna make you mad.
Oh, boy.
Just stand by. National Review. National Review, very respectable organization, reporting as of yesterday's date. National Review, the Biden administration weighs declaring a public health emergency in order to protect abortion access. Yeah. So here's the deal. The Biden administration is considering declaring a public health emergency. Here we go. See, this is what they do. They create the issue, and then they declare a emergency of some type so that they can then invoke certain executive powers that are not usually relegated to the things that they're wanting to deal with. But when they declare them to be an emergency, oh, look at all the neat things we can do. Biden administration considering declaring a public health emergency to protect abortion access, one of a number of proposals under consideration to use executive orders to blunt the impact of the expected overturning of Roe v. Wade, the New York Times reports. While the move would most certainly be met with legal challenges, you think? The declaration of a public health emergency would ostensibly allow the Department of Health and Human Services to suspend the state-based medical licensing regime so that blue state doctors could perform abortions in states where abortion is outlawed or restricted. So here's the deal. When you abolish the state licensing for medical practitioners, then they can cross over the border and conduct medical services without having to worry about what the state laws are, is what they're saying. Unbelievable. I mean, literally, they've just right here, they've just, first of all, attacked a Supreme Court decision, attacked the sanctity of life, and attacked states' rights all in one fell swoop because they could care less. Because if they can declare an emergency, they can do anything in their opinion. The administration may also make proposals to prepare the Justice Department to litigate against states that attempt to outlaw abortion tourism. Abortion tourism, what a gross phrase. What that basically means is people who travel to another state to get an abortion. So, yeah. And to confirm the state prohibitions on abortion cannot interfere with the distribution of FDA-approved abortion drugs. So what they're saying is if your state enacts a law that deals with the morning after pill, then they're gonna push back and not allow it to happen. If your state has a prohibition against abortion in general, and in some way that would prevent you from driving across state lines, because abortion's not going away. It's not gonna be as prevalent. But it gets worse. You ready? One privacy-centric idea, I don't know how they're even doing this, floated would be to have the Federal Trade Commission push for developers of apps that track female menstrual cycles to warn users that states could conduct surveillance of their data to determine their status and stage of pregnancy. What? So what they're saying here is they're going to, sort of like putting the warning label on the pack of cigarettes. Apparently, there are apps where people, where ladies, people, not people, we've gotten away from that. It's ladies have an app that tracks their menstrual cycles. They're going to demand that under the public health emergency, they're going to demand that these apps have to post something that says, "Be aware, the state you live in could track the data to determine whether or not you're pregnant, and then watch your cycles to see how it goes." No, they're not. First of all, see, that's how they think. That's not how we think. They're the ones who would be doing that kind of thing, tracking with apps. They're the ones who wanted the vaccine passport and the apps that said whether you've been, you know, in close proximity to somebody else who's been infected with COVID. Not the conservatives. Anyway, another particularly invasive proposal would bring abortionists to federal facilities like military bases, which are sort of an autonomous zone for state prosecution inside the states that have outlawed abortion. So what you can imagine there is, if they think they can get away with it, then they would say, all right, you know what, Alabama, you've got anti-abortion laws in place. Redstone Arsenal, you're going to open we're going to have the Fox Army Hospital abortion clinic. Do you see what's happening here? They can't get their way, so they're looking at, okay, how can we declare an emergency? How can we declare something? How can we create the problem? Oh, and then take action on it. Oh, we declare it to be an emergency. The Biden administration, this is in the same National Review article, by the way. The Biden administration is also looking for loopholes around the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment is federal law that prevents the use of federal tax dollars to pay for abortions, and has evidently asked the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel whether or not federal funds could subsidize the travel expenses for out-of-state abortion seekers. I'm telling you, they've got this kind of sick, overwhelming need to end the life of babies. It's like, at what point do they not like go, okay, you know what? We can't go any further. No, they're going to keep declaring emergencies and taking special action. Okay, I ain't done. You're like, Phil, you're exhausting me. How many times can they declare an emergency? Well, guess what? According to the National Association of County Governments, the CDC, oh Lord, the CDC has declared racism to be a serious public health threat. Stop it! Somebody make the madness stop. CDC declares racism a serious public health threat. On April 8th, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention declared that racism is a serious public health threat and stated that it would be taking specific action to address the issue. Golly. The declaration comes as the COVID-19 pandemic has shown to be disproportionately impacting communities of color and has laid bare the racial health disparities in the United States. Acknowledging the CDC's critical role in addressing the impact of racism on public health, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky stated the agency will Study the impact of social determinants on health outcomes. Make new and expanded investments in racial and ethnic minority communities. Expand internal agency efforts to foster greater diversity. And launch a new racism and health web portal as part of an ongoing commitment. Well, first of all, that all sounds pretty tepid, lukewarm, and ineffective. Just saying. That sounds like government sitting in its little, you know, bubble and literally the good idea fairy came through the room, sprinkled some good idea pixie dust, and somebody said, I don't know, let's start a new web portal that no one will ever look at. And let's go ahead and expand our interagency efforts to foster greater diversity. That's them talking to themselves. And let's study the impact of social determinants on health outcomes. Okay. Anyway, but they're still declaring it a public health threat. You know what that means? They can take emergency action. It gets going from there. I'm not through. Because you see, this is a pattern in practice. This is not a one-off. This is not, hey, I don't know what we do about baby formula or what do we do about... No, this is across the board. If they can't get what they want through Congress, then they will declare an emergency so they can get it done without them. Because, you know, it's not like we have three branches of government, right? It's not like we have constitutional mandates on legislative action versus executive action. It's not like we have the law of the land saying, here's how we will do business as a nation. No. We've got an administration that believes it is the end-all and be-all. Here's another example. The Army, this is from February this year on army.mil. The Army introduces, I forgot to rattle my paper. The Army introduces a strategy to combat climate change threats. Yes, and we've talked about it before, but here it is. Producing a fleet of field purpose-built hybrid drive tactical vehicles by 2035 and providing 100% carbon pollution-free electricity at Army installations by 2030 are among the goals outlined by the Army's first climate strategy as the service adapts to the effects of changing weather. What a crock of crap. This is more jackassery. By the way, I thank you for one of my followers on Twitter saying that jackassery was a good phrase. Additionally, melting Arctic ice has opened new trade routes in the Northern Hemisphere. What? While increasing great power competition for natural resources, said Paul Farnan, the acting assistant secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and Environment. Well, you've got a worthless job, sir. Extreme weather and natural disasters pose a looming danger to national security and Army installations. Changing rain and snow patterns threaten water supplies. What are they talking about? Has anybody seen this? The Army introduced a new strategy as the service looks to bolster its installations against those dangers as well as reduce consumption of electricity and natural resources. God almighty. Yeah, they went on to say, basically, they acknowledge the service will have to face challenges in developing the capability to recharge electric combat vehicles. You think? So here's the deal. You know how long it takes to charge an electric vehicle, right? You plug them in and charge them overnight. When you have combat operations, a part of it depends upon speed and maneuverability. Speed and maneuver, you got to be able to shoot, move, and communicate. And if you're having to stop and recharge your vehicles for hours on end, first of all, where are they going to charge them in a combat zone? Even in Baghdad, when we had, you know, FOBs set up and we had resupply points that were, you know, fairly contiguous and you had the capability to get your log trains to where you wanted them to go, you're not going to be able to charge a vehicle. Oh, the madness. The madness. All right, listen, I got one more of those. Let's go ahead and take the break, Copper. We'll come right back and we'll wrap up the week as we head to Father's Day weekend. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Telling you stuff you got to know. Doing what we can to empower and enlighten and educate and entertain so you can go out and have those water cooler conversations or know what to ask a elected official when you meet them. I'm just telling you, that's why we're here. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. So Listen, I've been doing this whole section on the, you know, the madness of a crying wolf in D.C. and saying, you know, hey, we're going to invent the crisis and then we're going to declare it a crisis and then we're going to use special powers that aren't reserved for things like what we just created this crisis to be. And we're going to get more done without the use of Congress and the courts because we have a phone and a pen. Well, you know, he did used to work for Obama, who said the phone and the pen was his best way of doing things. And we're seeing it. And right now, here's one more. They're calling on President Biden to exercise gun control options without Congress. Here's the actual headline from Yahoo News. Dateline yesterday. President of Gun Control Group says Biden can take these four actions without Congress. Here we go. The recent mass shootings in Uvalde, Texas, where 19 children and two teachers were killed, and in Buffalo, New York, where 10 people were killed, have renewed calls for gun control at the federal level. Yes, they have. But President Biden has acknowledged there's little he can do in terms of executive action. Without the support of Congress, quote, said the president, there's a constitution. I can't dictate this stuff. Well, that's there are moments of clarity, apparently, where it sets in that he realizes he actually can't do something. Days later, okay, after he said that was what he said on May 30th, by the way. Days later, Biden demanded that Congress take action on stronger gun measures, including a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. What's an assault weapon? A knife could be an assault weapon. A baseball bat could be an assault weapon. That's a whole other story. A ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, raising the age for buying assault rifles from 18 to 21. That makes sense. Strengthening background checks. By the way, it doesn't. I was saying that tongue-in-cheek. Strengthening background checks. Enacting federal red flag laws intended to keep firearms out of the hands of those considered likely to harm themselves or others. All right. So he's calling on it, but then Chris Brown, the president of an organization called Brady United, a nonprofit organization that advocates for gun control, told Yahoo News that there is more Biden can do if Congress fails to act. Number one, you ready for it? Wait for it. What do you think he's going to do? Number one, declare gun violence a public health epidemic. I kid you not. See, it's not just the Biden administration. Now even those that are liberal advocates have begun to see, wait, what did he do that one time with the baby formula? Defense production. Yes. Or what's the thing with CDC with racism? Oh, public health emergency. And so here it is. The president of Brady United is calling upon the president of the United States to declare gun violence a public health epidemic. He says, we lose 45,000 Americans a year to gun violence. I'd like to see where we get the numbers, but, you know, I guess in Chicago that could be the number. 45,000 Americans a year to gun violence, and gun violence is the number one killer of children in this country. Okay, I dispute that, by the way. I don't think that's accurate. But anyway, he goes on to say, so it's right to declare it a public health epidemic. Can we also declare automobiles a public health epidemic? Think about all the auto accidents. Can we also declare, I don't know, how many people have choked on a Twinkie over time? Twinkies might be a public health epidemic. I don't know. So yeah, there's number one. He does have four action plans here. I'll give you the others just so you'll know. Redefine what a gun dealer is. So basically, anyone who sells more than five guns would have to be declared a gun dealer and would then have to do background checks. Here's one. Let's make sure we grow some government, too, in here somewhere. So establish a White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention. That's a worthless endeavor. The White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention. What are you going to do? Nothing. Direct the Justice Department to take action on illegal firearms. So I'm hearing weaponize the DOJ, grow government, bypass the Constitution, and, oh, by the way, establish red flag laws that violate due process. All right. It's been a full week, folks, a full week. And listen, I hope that you guys have had a good one, but you're going to have a better one through the weekend. Father's Day is coming up on Sunday. Let me just suggest to you before we go here, if you haven't thought about what to do, maybe Saturday morning, instead of just doing the big breakfast at home for Father's Day, maybe you guys go down to Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations on Hughes Road in Madison and another one on South Warren Parkway in Huntsville. They have waffles. They have omelets. They have massive coffee. They have what Charlene calls the treat coffees, like the cappuccinos and espressos and lattes. All I'm saying is Just Love Coffee Cafe might be your weekend trip. Think about it. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Copper and I back here on Monday at 2. You guys have an amazing weekend. We'll see you then.